If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn with me to the book of James, James chapter 4. We'll be reading in that as you're getting to that. God is so good, you know. What a wonderful time this morning. I just felt the Holy Spirit here with us this morning through this. Amen. So good. So good. James chapter 4, starting in verse 7. It says, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. Lord, just let me speak it the way you want it said, Lord. Lord, I just ask you to take anything away from me that might hinder your word from being spoken clearly this morning. Lord, let your Holy Spirit be in complete control. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, reading this scripture, I picked out six different things out of this scripture that kind of reminded me of things the way to look at my lifestyle. You ever think about that? God calls us into a lifestyle of repentance. You know, repent, you know. And the word repent, when you look at it by definition, it's a feeling or expression of sincere regret. It is something you're ashamed of. A concern that's stricken you to a point of guilt. That's the definition of repent when you look it up. And so this lifestyle of repentance, meaning it's something we do every day. It's a lifestyle. When we look at the book of Revelation, which we've been studying that in our Bible study on Friday nights, and it's been really good. We've had some great discussions. But, you know, the letters to the churches, Jesus calls us to repentance. God called his people from the beginning in the book of Genesis all the way through the scriptures. He calls his people to repentance. That's what he does. And in the book of Revelation, like I was saying, Jesus writes the letters to the churches and he says, hey, I know your good works. I know all the things that you're doing. But he said, I have these few things against you. And then he says, repent. He tells them to repent. God wants us to repent. He wants to be a part of our lives. He doesn't want us to lose out on anything that he has for us. That's what he wants from us. He wants that from us. But it comes from some things. And part of this, he says, one of the things I picked out was he wants us to submit to him. And that's what it says. It says, submit to me. Submit yourselves then to God. And what do we look at the definition of submit? It says to accept, yield to a superior force or authority. By definition, it says to bow down, to consent. I like that. And the word that we find in the scriptures a lot is to conform. To conform. And what does that mean? It means one of the scriptures in 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, come out of the world and be you therefore separate. Separate yourself. What? What are we conforming to? We're conforming to God's ways. Remember last week I talked about, you know, the lifestyle. In other words, the manner of life. It's a manner of life which we're conforming to God's ways and not to the ways of the world, because the ways of the world lead to what? Lead to death. So we have to conform ourselves. Now, you're kind of seeing a pattern here about this is things we do, right? But we don't get to heaven by works, right? Well, let's look at James chapter 2. And I know I didn't tell Verna this, but just look back a page. It's easy to find. James chapter 2, verse 14. James deals with faith and deeds. See, we live by faith, right? But the scripture says faith without works is what? Is dead. So faith and works goes together. Faith and deeds go together. So the things that we do matter, right? It says, what good is it? I'm going to read just a little bit of this. It says, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you say to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself is not accompanied by action. It is dead. See? And then it goes on to say in verse 18, but someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds, show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. And I'm going to stop right there. I want to go back to this because we're looking at a pattern here, what James is saying in chapter 4 about things that we do. So this lifestyle of repentance is a thing that you do every day. It's something we have to, it takes effort. Everything that you do in life takes effort. Whether it's a job that you have, a family that you have, a relationship that you have, no matter what that is that you do, it takes effort. So our relationship with God, we would only, I mean, it takes effort. It's not something, you know, some people think, well, I'm saved by grace and I can just go sit on a bucket and it doesn't matter. I can go live in the woods, you know, and it doesn't matter. I'm saved. We're saved by grace, right? We are. But he also calls us to a lifestyle of repentance and a lifestyle of living by his commands. He says, the world will know my people by what? Because they keep my commands. Well, that takes effort, right? To keep his commands. You see what I'm saying? And so we find here we've got to submit to God. We've got to accept. We've got to yield to him. And sometimes that's not easy because we don't want to submit to anything. A lot of people, we don't want to submit. We don't want to be submissive. But yet he says here, submit to me. Why? Because it's for our benefit. If we're going to serve him, it's for our benefit. The second one is to resist. Resist the devil. The word resist, the definition is the refusal to accept or comply with. The ability not to be affected by something. I want to go back to that. The refusal to accept or comply. You know, when we think about what Satan wants and what God wants, Satan wants to keep us from God, right? So he wants us to accept his ways and not God's ways. So he's always tempting us. He's always after us. He's always putting things in our head. He's always tempting us. He wants to throw darts at us, and he wants to make us miserable is really what he wants. So we have to make this effort at resisting him. But if we submit to God, which is the first, then in definition, by resist, he says, that gives us the ability not to be affected by Satan because we've submitted to God. I love that. Even by definition, it proves itself, this scripture. God makes no mistakes. This word is true. It's not my opinion. It's just the word of God. The third thing, he says, draw near to me. Come near to me, and God will come near to you. When we look by definition of draw near, it means to approach, to move forward, to travel towards, to get closer to. I want to be as close to God as I can get. I have to stay close to God. Why? Because I have this Satan over here trying to destroy my life all the time. So the closer I stay to God, the least I have to worry about that, and God gives me the ability to resist him. Amen? Amen. Come on.
Puts
that
head grip around
me. Yeah, amen. And I remember this draw near, draw close. I mean, so many people in this world want to live in the buffer zone. They want to live in the gray area, and they want to live in the middle of the road. They don't want to walk close to God, and they want to stay over here close to the world, so they want to live in the middle of the road. But there is no middle of the road according to the scripture, because even when we look at the Laodicean church in the book of Revelations. He said, you're neither lukewarm, you're neither cold or hot. You're lukewarm. And what is that? That's the middle of the road. We can't have it both ways. And I believe that there's going to be those people, and the scripture says this, that will stand before God and he'll say, depart from me, for I never knew you. And they're going to have this big list of stuff that they wrote down saying, well, didn't I do all this? I went to church every Sunday or every time the doors were open. I preached. I talked to people. But they lived in that gray area instead of living close to God. They lived close to the world or in the middle. And I know that you can't have it both ways. Sometimes we want that, though. We want our cake and eat it, too. You know, we want that. But the scripture tells us we can't have that. I know walking too close to the world is very dangerous. It's like I remember when I lived in Southwest Louisiana that anytime you went fishing or if you went crabbing or if you went to anytime you was near any kind of water, it didn't matter, backyard swimming pool, you better watch the water. If you've seen little bubbles, you better move away from the water. I'm telling you. Because there's alligators there. There's a danger there. And you have to pay attention. And there's big alligators there. I'm telling you. And if you run, you can't run a straight line because they'll catch you. You got to run in a zigzag pattern. That's what I was told. I never want to prove it. But you know, we can't live close to the danger, and that's what happens when we want to live too close to the world. And that's why he says, draw close to me, draw close to me, stay close to me and I'll protect you, stay close to me and I'll take care of you, draw close to me, submit to me, conform to my ways, and you'll be able to, you won't have a problem resisting the devil because I'm so close to you. He won't even want to come near you because you're living for me. And when he does, he's got no power. He's got no strength with you. So draw near to him. The fourth thing he talks about here is wash. He says, wash your hands. Why is that so important? Wash your hands. You know, I remember when the doctor told me, when I got really sick and the doctor told me, you know, of course I had second stage kidney disease. And when she told me, she started all through this thing, you know, and she said, one thing you have to do. She said, the medicine that you're on and the problems that you have, you've got to wash your hands. You've got to stay away from people that are sick. You've got to take care of yourself. She said, because if you get the flu, if you get one of these things, it'll kill you. You're too sick to be able to handle some of these things. Wash your hands. You know, sometimes we have all this stuff in our life and we need to just wash our hands of it and let it go instead of just keeping all that stuff on our hands in our life. And that's, you know, what am I talking about? This is what we call living a holy life. Called unto holiness. That's part of the Nazarene church. That's what we do. And it takes an effort. We don't get there by our works. We get there because we love God. He loved us first. We didn't deserve any of it. He saved us by His grace. But He calls us into this lifestyle of repentance because, you know, there's not a day that goes by that thought doesn't come into our head. You know, we have to work on, we have to protect ourselves. This world that we live in is becoming worse than ever, okay? I mean, you can't watch TV hardly. You can't even drive down the road. You can't go. I mean, there's just so much out there that is throwing temptation into people's lives. And the things that we used to do, the things that we were saved from, he's saying, wash your hands of that stuff. Get rid of it. Get it out of your life. You know, in one scripture, Jesus said, if something offends you, if something's a problem for you, just cut your hand off even. Gouge your eyes out. I mean, that's pretty serious talk right there. You know, you would rather go into heaven blind or go into heaven with one arm than to than to not make it at all. But we have to wash our hands of all that stuff. You know, I remember whenever I shared that with Verna, the first thing she did is she went out and bought 4 bottles of hand sanitizer. And she put them in the church. But it was just something, you know, she was, that meant something to me. It really did. I know it's simple, but it really did. God loves us that much. He's like, man, use hand sanitizer. Do whatever. I mean, use it. Get rid of that stuff. Get it out of your life. This next one goes with it. He says, purify. It says, purify. Right here. Oops, wrong page. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts. Purify your hearts. We have this stuff that gets built up. And what's our heart? It's our emotions. It's our thoughts. You know, we get these thoughts in our head and Satan's trying to tempt us. You know? And how important is our thoughts? How serious can that be? You know, it is as much as physical, because Jesus said about adultery when he made the comment about adultery. He said, you know, even if you look on another woman and lust after her, you've committed adultery. In what? In your heart. Purify your hearts. What's purify mean? Remove contaminants from, to clean, to refine, to cleanse, to decontaminate, to disinfect. I like that word the best. To disinfect, because you need to get rid of sin, if you break the word down, sin that affects your life. Disinfect. You got to get rid of that stuff that's in your life. Whatever is tempting you, whatever is your problem, whatever is bothering you, run away from it. Get away from it as far as you can. Get as close to God as you can. That keeps you from that. Submit to Him, and He'll help you through all that. Resist the devil. There's stuff that goes on in this world that we have to run from. We have to keep. That's what it means being called out of this world. And, you know, be separate. We live here. We have to exist here, but we don't have to take part in it. And that's what he's saying. And that takes what? That takes effort. That's that faith and deeds, that faith and works that goes together. That's what he's saying. You know, I can write a book. I can write down every time I do something good. I paid my tithes today. Oop, there it is. And I can write me a journal. And I can keep that. I can do that my whole life. And whenever I die, I can be buried with it. And I can take it, if I was allowed to, and I could say, see all the good things that I did? That wouldn't matter, would it? Wouldn't matter at all. Those works are meaningless to God. And that's what he was saying to the ones he said, depart from me, I never knew you. So wash your hands, purify yourself, get rid of any of that contaminants, get rid of all that junk that causes you problems in your life. Get rid of it. That's what he's saying. It takes effort. That's not easy. It's not easy. That's why that daily repentance, we're called unto it. We have to go through every day, get on our knees and say, Lord, if there's anything that keeps me from serving you today, get rid of it. I give it to you. You know, I've said things, I've done things in my life that have offended people, and I've had to repent about it. I'm being honest. We've all been there, right? Because I've felt that. I've done something, I was like, you know, I shouldn't have said that. And I just say, Lord, please forgive me. Please forgive me. And He does. That's what He says He'll do. Why? Because I'm walking close to Him. And when I do something, I know that's probably a little out of line. You know, He says, don't talk bad about me. That's what He said. Who are you to judge? Remember what He just said? Who are you to judge? You know, talking about, if we could just not talk bad about people, that would be a huge step, wouldn't it? Huge step. If we could just not talk bad about people. The last thing he says is humble. humble yourselves. Be humble. By definition, humble is respectful, submissive, free from vanity. We have to just show God that He is more important than anything that we are, because He created us. We didn't create Him. He is God Almighty. Amen. We humble ourselves before Him, and when we do that, we just show Him that respect that He deserves. You know, there's power in the Holy Spirit. And He keeps us when we submit to Him and when we draw close to Him and when we continue to repent to Him in our daily life. When we live that lifestyle of repentance, I'm telling you, we sang songs this morning. We've talked about loved ones this morning that gave their life of dedication to this church. And I know they're in heaven today. And that was their goal. And they lived that lifestyle. And that's what He wants all of us to do. And by then, everybody will see who we are and who we belong to. I don't care what church you go to. If you live a lifestyle of repentance, people will know that you serve God Almighty. Amen. I mean, that's what He wants from us. From the book of Genesis all the way to the book of Revelations, He calls His people out. Repent. Come to Me. All through it. It just over and over. Over again. We have a loving God that loves us so much. So much. We owe Him everything. Everything. I don't deserve any of the grace that He's given me. Any of it. But He made the decision long ago that He would die for me. I just praise Him this morning. And I challenge you. It's not easy, but it's a good life. And the reward is so great. Just read about it, and it tells you. Not my opinion. It's just what the Word of God says. And I believe it. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for Your Word. Lord, thank You for Your Holy Spirit being here this morning. Lord, I pray that if there's anybody here struggling with things in their life, if there's anybody here that doesn't have a close relationship with You, Lord, I just pray that compel them to come. Compel them to know the love that You have. Lord, I just praise You, Lord. Thank You for each and every one that's here this morning. Lord, there's many that are out today sick and afflicted, Lord, I just ask a special prayer upon their lives as well. Lord, we thank You. Lord, again, if anybody's here this morning, all you have to do is surrender to Him. I praise You. I thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.